All right, Cyclones fans, before we dive into this 2 full-hour-long episode, the longest one that we have ever done, I just want to say thank you off the bat. These podcasts are a lot of work. They're time-consuming, especially this episode, but it's rewarding, and I'm grateful for all of the kind words, all of the constructive criticism that I've received over the years. Just everything that goes into this podcast, I really, really appreciate all of you sticking with us all season long. 35 episodes is a lot of episodes. I certainly understand that. And if you've listened to every one of them, if you've remained faithful to us inside Cyclones Hockey, I can't thank you more. I enjoy doing this so very much. I do want to say with that in mind that this podcast was an absolute beast. A lot of starting and stopping the recordings, a lot of clipping highlights, a lot of copy and pasting and making sure that I got everything in the right spot. So if you come across a couple of mistakes, if something accidentally gets cut off a little bit early, or I stumble or I repeat anything when we're talking highlights, or excuse me, when we're talking stats or anything, just know I did try my very hardest, and I'm sure it won't be too bad, but there's bound to be a mistake or two in a 2-hour episode. Just candidly, I did not go back and listen to this episode in full. It took me days and days to put together, and I just want to get it out there for all of you to enjoy instead of taking the 2 hours to fully listen to it back. So we're rolling with it, however it is. I apologize if there are any mistakes, but I hope that you get as much enjoyment out of this episode and out of this season as I have. So here you have it. 2 hours worth of, well, 1 hour and 10 minutes worth of memories and highlights and goals and all that good stuff. And then about 1 hour's worth of interviews on the back end as well. Thanks for being here inside Cyclones Hockey, everybody. You have no idea how much it means to me. Please enjoy this episode. What's going on, Cyclones fans? Jake Senhol's back with you for a bittersweet episode of Inside Cyclones Hockey. And it's bittersweet because it's one of our favorite episodes to do all season, one of the favorites of the listeners and the players, but it also signals the official end of the regular season, or end of the season in general, and the transition to the offseason. It is our season recap and highlight episode, where if you haven't listened to one of these in the past, I'm going to go through starting with the top scorers and work my way all the way down through the roster. And we'll kind of recap some season highlights for individual players. We'll recap all of their stats in depth and share some highlights with you that I'm sure if you've been listening to the podcast all season or you follow us on social media, you're probably going to be familiar with a lot of these highlights and a lot of these goals. But always nice to kind of have them all in one place, compile them all, and have a bit of an episode or a highlight reel episode. And this season certainly delivered a lot of highlights, a lot of great moments, and we're going to have them all for you right here on this episode. Now, it will be a long one, probably a doozy of an episode, but it should fly by pretty quick, and we certainly appreciate you listening to the whole thing. We also have Wausau West Warriors head coach and one of the owners of the Cyclones, who played a very integral part in bringing Wausau Cyclones hockey back to Wausau. It's BJ Brandt going to be our final guest on the podcast for the regular season. And I'm trying to hook up with Coach Oistrich as well, so hopefully in the coming days or even coming weeks. And maybe I'll do a special release of a Coach Oistrich interview, kind of a season recap interview from the head coach's perspective as well. So we got all of that coming up for you right now. I got a conversation with Zach Serway, almost 40 minutes long, full of thank yous, full of reminiscing, full of a ton of good stuff coming up after this as well. But let's get to it. Let's highlight some Wausau Cyclones players in a year that was full of offense, full of victories, just a lot of good stuff to recap and highlight. So let's get into it, starting with the Cyclones' leading scorer. It's number 19 out of Saginaw, Michigan, Connor Dvorak.
Friel steps towards the center, leaves it for Dvorak, right under the crossbar, and what a night for number 19. Scores with 6 seconds left in the first, scores 1 minute into the second, and he's two-thirds of the way to a hat trick and gives the Cyclones a 2-0 lead. My, oh my, Connor Dvorak doing it all for his Clones tonight. Nelson picks it up, swings through the Cyclone logo. He's going to rip one far side, goes quite a bit wide. Gomez getting in there, doing the dirty work. Now here's a chance for Dvorak. It's redirected, and 6 seconds on the clock in a scoreless first period, no more. Cyclones take the lead with a late, late first period goal. This one going to belong to number 19, Connor Dvorak.
Able to chip it out of his own zone. And Dvorak, what a move there to get a stick around the defenseman beneath the crossbar with the backhand. My, oh my, put that one on the highlight reel for the man who steps up and takes the center position on the top line. Almost a full minute has elapsed already. Cyclones yet to register a shot. There's a good one from Mahoney. Rebound, Dvorak buries it.
Right on cue as the Cyclones needed one. First power play opportunity of the night. They get it. Shot from Mahoney on the far side. Rebound to Dvorak, and the West Bend Powers lead has been cut in half.
So Connor is a first-year Wausau Cyclone, and boy, did he impact this team in a big, big way. One of the toughest players on the Cyclones as well was just beat down, especially towards the back end of the season. I know playing through some nagging injuries, took a couple face shots towards the end of the season, and then unfortunately did have a shoulder injury that ended things just a couple of shifts into the first game of playoffs, and boy was his absence felt throughout the duration of playoffs. Connor in 48 games was able to rack up 71 points in the form of 27 goals, 44 assists. My numbers went away here. All right, sorry about that. I was able to get them back. As I was saying, Connor racked up 71 points in the form of 27 goals, 44 assists for a 1.48 points per game average. He had 7 power play goals, 22 power play assists. He had 4 game-winning goals, and get this, folks, just 8 penalty minutes all season. How any player does that in the NA3, let alone such a time-consuming player, a guy that's on the ice so much, so often. I don't know how you only end up with 8 penalty minutes, but Connor Dvorak certainly did, and he ended up with a plus 34 plus-minus at the end of the season as well. Now, Connor had a lot of games where he just absolutely exploded, multiple four-point games, and his season was highlighted by a five-point performance. You have to go all the way back to the October 20th game against Peoria. Early on in the season, he exploded for 2 goals and 3 assists. He also went on a streak of 2, 4, 6 games in a row, scoring at least a point. He had a couple back-to-back four-point games as well. Connor Dvorak really doing all he could to help out his Wausau Cyclones this season. So there you have it, Wausau Cyclones leading scorer, Connor Dvorak. That leads us to the all-time leading scorer for your Wausau Cyclones, Ricky Nelson. Now, Ricky has been with us for a couple of seasons. He set the all-time franchise scoring record at, I believe, 102 points. I am going, or 103 points, rather. I'm confirming that for you right now. And indeed, it does look like that is correct. Ricky Nelson, the all-time points leader at 103. 63 of those points came this season in the form of 24 goals, 39 assists. That gave him a 1.37 point per game average. Ricky had 10 power play goals, 11 power play assists. He had a shorthanded assist, a single game-winning goal, and 140 penalty minutes. So Ricky, not only one of the team leading scorers, but Ricky also had himself 140 penalty minutes for a plus 38 plus minus. He also was one of the players to represent the Wausau Cyclones at the Top Prospects Tournament just about a week ago, where he racked up 4 points, I believe, 4 points in the form of 3 goals and 1 assist at the Top Prospects Tournament, making him the second highest scorer at that tournament. Here is some Ricky Nelson highlights.
Scrum along the boards on the near side. So Isaac Baker. Baker fires into traffic. Puck on front end, and Randall puts it home. Power play goal for the Cyclones makes it 6-0. I believe that was Randall anyway. A lot of traffic out in front, so we'll get the official scoring.
It was on Isaac Baker, 2 minutes for interference, shots on goal. Officially 20-11, so Peoria nearly doubling up the Wausau Cyclones, but the Cyclones here have a chance to extend the lead. Great move. Ricky Nelson makes it look easy. 2-on-1. Dvorak to Nelson. Nelson to the back of the net, and the Cyclones score just about a minute into this second period. 3-1 for your Clones here on home ice. Napravnik able to play it aside safely, but we talked about those coaching decisions and how difficult it is to Ricky Nelson lighten the lamp out of nowhere, walks to the near side, walks from the near side rather, and lights the lamp here early. That's the second straight week that Ricky Nelson scores in the opening minute of the contest. And number 28 making it 1-0 here for the Cyclones. All I do is change the puck's direction. That, a sharp pass over to Brian, redirected in front. Ricky Nelson looking for the wraparound. And he does it. Ricky Nelson takes advantage of a third power play opportunity here in the first period. Woodsman just kept going to the box, and Ricky Nelson making him pay. Scores the first 2 goals of this contest, and he is on hat trick watch for the rest of the evening. Could he score 3 straight goals 2 weekends in a row to open each game? That's what Ricky Nelson is tasked with now. Last Friday night, he scored the first 3 goals of that contest. This Friday night, he's looking to do the same, as Nelson has been absolutely on fire. That is his ninth point in the last 7 periods of hockey. Boy, you got to know where 28 is on the ice at all times right now. Behind, Ricky Nelson. Going to play it safely back to Napravnik. He uses the far side boards to find Gomez and dumps it in. On the backhand, loses it in his feet, and Ricky Nelson, the easiest goal he's ever going to score, makes it 1-0, barely 1 minute into this contest. Cyclones on top with a quick strike off the mishandle of the puck by the goaltender Bagar. Junior Blue is able to hold his own for a moment, but Dvorak picks it up in stride, going to try and make a move. Split the D, had his back to the goaltender, leaves it for Ricky Nelson, and that's number 2 for number 28 here this evening. 46 seconds left in the first period. Ricky Nelson, 2-goal lead, second of the night, and the Cyclones with a momentum goal in the waning seconds of the period. Now this time it's a 3-on-1 out of nowhere. Dvorak gives it up in front as Gomez makes a move, goes down. And who was that? Was that Ricky Nelson? Was that Nelson with the hat trick? I believe it was. Cyclones scoop up that puck. Nelson scores the first 3 goals of this game. It's a consecutive hat trick for number 28. Comes flying in. After the big takedown on Antonio Gomez, that's where my eyes went. All of a sudden, Ricky Nelson comes up as the trailer, puts the puck in the back of the net, and there's the lone hat onto the ice for Ricky Nelson. Oh, we got a second. There you go. Love to see some crowd participation. Couple of hats on the ice for number. Chance for number two for Ricky, and he makes it look easy right off the draw. And Ricky Nelson with his second goal in the first period. And once again, for I believe the fourth weekend in a row, Ricky Nelson on hat trick watch less than 20 minutes into a game.
So there you have it, the highlight reel. That is Ricky Nelson. By the way, Ricky wears the number 28 and hails from Edina, Minnesota. He had a knack for scoring early on in the game. He was all over opponents in the first period more times than not, had multiple hat tricks this season, and was highlighted by his four-goal, five-point performance against St. Louis. The Junior Blues came to town and got absolutely wrecked on February 10th. You're going to hear Zach Serway and I talk about that game in expanded form as well. So Ricky is an age out, and we are certainly going to miss him. Up next, the Cyclones' third leading scorer. Where's the number four from Neenah, Wisconsin? It is forward John Kriz.
Now Isaac Baker back the other way for the Cyclones, looking for a man to pass it to. He'll feed it back to the blue line. Dolly sends it down below the goal. Bryan may have had a chance out in front, and there's a goal. John Kriz on the one-timer. 3 minutes and 42 seconds in, the Cyclones are on the board first.
Big face-off here for the Cyclones. Randall wins it. Can Kriz bury the empty netter? He does! 3.5 seconds remain. The Cyclones with an insurance score, and your Wausau Cyclones headed to the playoffs as John Kriz kisses the Woodsman goodbye. Number four deserves one after all the opportunities. Over the last two weekends, he finally buries one in the empty net and will send his Cyclones to the playoffs. Puck is dropped. The final horn sounds. Your Wausau Cyclones remain undefeated on home ice. And though it's barely January, they clinch a playoff berth for the second time in franchise history with a thrilling victory, 4-2 over the Wisconsin Woodsmen.
Passes it, making some moves though right there. Nelson fires, shot, and a goal. Kriz in the middle, and there is your dagger. Played it off the board, centered it. It's always good to see a guy in front of the net. As Cyclones go up 5-1, looking to get 16.
John was another newcomer to the Wausau Cyclones this season. He contributed 55 points in the form of 23 goals and 32 assists, giving him a 1.12 points per game average. He had 11 power play goals, 16 power play assists. He also had three game-winning goals. He had 34 penalty minutes on the season and had a plus-minus of positive 23. So John Kriz, especially on the power play, a big-time factor for this Wausau Cyclones team. That brings us to his line mate for most of the year, Anderson Bryan. Now, Anderson Bryan, another newcomer for the Wausau Cyclones, and performed in a big, big way. He wore the number 8 and came to us from Michigan via Atlanta, Georgia. Here's some Anderson Bryan highlights.
Baker with it over to the left side across the blue line. Cross ice pass. So we're now puck on front. Stepping up in front is Bryan. He fires and scores. Anderson Bryan puts the Cyclones on the board. Power play goal at 7:05 of period number one. 1-0 Cyclones lead. 1:20 left here in the power play. Bryan for Baker. Down low. Back to Bryan. He scores. What a shot by Anderson Bryan, top cheddar, and the Cyclones waste no time scoring again.
So the Tradesmen looking to remain hot, have won 15 out of their last 16 games, only dropping one to the Wausau Cyclones last Saturday after a 15-game win streak. Now here's a chance, 3-on-1, Anderson Bryan! Less than a minute into the second period, look at those rally towels go! Up and over the outstretched glove of Stephen Kelly and breathes some much-needed life into this building. What a beauty. Top shelf, glove side, Anderson Bryan.
Anderson also a big-time contributor to the Wausau Cyclones on the offensive side of things. He had 52 points this season, made up by 24 goals and 28 assists. He also had a 1.04 points per game average, 15 power play goals, 15 power play assists, which I believe has him tied as the leading special team scorer on the team. He had 8 game-winning goals, which by far leads the team. He had 1 shootout goal as well, racked up 50 penalty minutes over the course of the season for a plus-minus of positive 18. A couple of season highlights for Anderson Bryan going back towards the beginning of the season. He had almost a one-month stretch between early October and early November where he scored no less than 2 points every single game. Should also forgot to give John Kriz his flowers. I apologize, John. John's season was highlighted by a couple of big games. He had a hat trick back on January 20th against Peoria. Had a number of other three-point nights in the season as well. So there you have it. That is John Kriz and Anderson Bryan, which leads us to our defensive leader, Mr. Isaac Baker. He was a returning Wausau Cyclone, has played 93 games in a Cyclones jersey. He wore the number 16 from St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Up ahead, Baker gives chase. Borowski out of the net, sends it around the corner. Now puck comes in on Borowski, save. Fitzgerald over there. Comes out, one-time attempt from the blue line, and a goal. That is Isaac Baker from the blue line. Puck just sat there, and he went low into the glove side on Borowski and put it home, and it's 7-0 Cyclones.
Baker able to hold the zone there. Works it to Bryan, a wide open Kriz up top on the far side. Kriz to Gomez, up to Baker. He's going to wind up, keeps it on the ice, and buries it. A power play goal gives the Cyclones a 2-goal lead. And this is the third period that they needed. This is the team that we expected to see here tonight, jumping all over these Woodsmen and establishing control of this game. That one, Isaac Baker, maybe tipped in front by Ricky Nelson. Doesn't matter. Cyclones will take it any way they can get it right now. It's 3-1. Great looking shot from a great defenseman.
Isaac is going to be very much missed. He unfortunately did have to deal with a arm injury later on in the season as well. He played 93 games in a Cyclones jersey over a couple of seasons and contributed 68 points in total. This season, he had 44 points via 7 goals and 37 assists. He had a 1.07 points per game average, 4 power play goals, 26 power play assists. Talk about the, you know, the power play running through a man. Boy, did he play quarterback up top really well. 26 assists this season. He had 3 game-winning goals and 56 penalty minutes for a plus 22 plus minus. Isaac Baker, one of our age outs, and we certainly wish him well moving forward. We now have Antonio Gomez, the man who we traded, came to us in a trade last season and made his impact known right away. One of the most physical players on this Wausau Cyclones team. He wore the number 14 from Somerset, Wisconsin.
Now Isaac Baker keeps it in at the line. Ricky Nelson down low, tries to center, goes behind the net. Centering pass and a score! Antonio Gomez in the slot, wide open, and Wausau again puts it in the net. It's 4-0 Cyclones. It's their fourth different goal scorer for their four goals.
So Dvorak going to be asked to try and win this defensive zone faceoff. He cannot. But the first one to his Cyclones anyway, and now Dvorak finally can change as Gomez, all alone, looking for the hat trick! He's got it! He's got it! A five-point night, three goals, two assists, Antonio Gomez doing it all. What a move, comes in all alone to the offensive zone. One white jersey, five blue jerseys. Does it matter? Not at all. Antonio Gomez with the hattie, and Gabe Randall says, here you go, bud. I grabbed the puck for you. What a performance tonight.
Let's see, 55 total games as a Wausau Cyclone. Antonio Gomez was able to rack up 48 points. This season, he had 41 points, 18 goals, 23 assists, and he's the first player we're going to talk about so far that did not average a point per game, but he sure was close, 0.91 points per game. He had 8 power play goals, 6 power play assists, 2 game-winning goals, and he racked up a, I believe, team-leading 169 penalty minutes for a plus-minus of positive 24. Antonio Gomez, also one of our age-outs and another guy that we are going to miss dearly. So happy that we ended up with him on our side. Another man who had a very brief tenure with the Wausau Cyclones, only about 2 months, was Matthew Mahoney. Matthew Mahoney hails from Rochester, Minnesota, and with the Cyclones, he wore the number 15. Now, I unfortunately do not have any highlights of Matthew Mahoney, his two goals scored in a Cyclones jersey, both on the road, both against the Wisconsin Woodsmen, and I watched both of them. His name doesn't get mentioned, very lackluster call by the Woodsman play-by-play man for both of his goals. So I do apologize, Matthew, for not having any of your goals clipped here. But in a Wausau Cyclones jersey, he played 16 games, had 2 goals, 12 assists. So a heck of a playmaker in a short period of time was Matthew Mahoney. He actually had a game-winning goal and had a plus-minus of 4 for the Cyclones, along with 12 penalty minutes. We had a very brief experience with Matthew Mahoney, but he has an awesome mustache, and we certainly wish him the best moving forward. Wish we could have had him on the roster for a little bit more time. He did rack up 34 points in total, though, most of those, a large majority of those coming when he was a member of the St. Louis Junior Blues. That brings us to another defenseman. We have number 20 from Greenville, Wisconsin, Easton Plahetka.
One-timer in front, great save. Tons of traffic, Plahetka goes upstairs. What a goal by the Cyclones defenseman, makes this game 4-1. An absolute beauty. About 8 men in front, Plahetka somehow finds a lane, sneaks it under the crossbar and lights the lamp.
Plahetka is a multi-year Cyclone, racking up 37 total points in 89 games played, but a large majority of those points coming this season. He really stepped up his game, and he told me when he was a guest on this podcast that he took himself seriously and got himself in shape over the previous offseason, and boy, did it pay off. Probably the most improved player, if I was giving out the award on this Cyclones team. He had 9 goals, a lot of them beautiful, like just extremely good-looking goals from Plahetka. 9 goals, 19 assists. He also had 5 power play goals, 12 power play assists, and he had 10 penalty minutes for a plus-minus of positive 15. Plahetka is not an age-out, so we do hope to see him back if he doesn't have bigger and brighter things immediately on his horizon. We certainly hope to see him back next season. Next up, we got number 27 from Apple Valley, Minnesota. It is forward Adam Wiggins.
Puck finds its way over to Anderson. Bryan, wide open on the back door. Easy cleanup job for Adam Wiggins. And the Cyclones starting to pull away. Cleaning up the garbage, number 27. Cyclones with a 5-1 lead.
The pass. Donahue passes it to Cyclones. Here comes Wiggins. Wiggins going to skate it in. Wiggins shot off the pipe and into the net. Shot and a goal. The doink in. And it beats Visvarda for the third goal.
Adam was another returning Cyclone who had to deal with injury for a large part of the season early on this year. He did not play his first game in a Cyclones jersey this season until, I believe, it says that he played two very early back in September. I'm not sure if that's correct or not, but then he did not play until December 15th was when he made his healthy debut throughout the rest of the season. His season highlighted by a four-point performance back on February the 24th against the West Bend Power. Now, Wiggins this season racked up a total, well, in 73 career games, he has a total of 34 points. But this season, he had 7 goals and 10 assists for 17 points, which is actually identical to last year. He had 7 goals and 10 assists. So identical stats in both seasons as a Cyclone. But where he had the advantage on himself this season was he did have a game-winning goal along with 59 penalty minutes and a plus-minus of positive 9. Also had a power play goal this season. So there you have it. That was number 27, Adam Wiggins, who is also an age-out, and we certainly wish him well. We now move on to number 2. Jack Dolly, defenseman out of Flint, Michigan. This was Jack's first year as a Cyclone.
Running out of space. Now Dolly off the feed from the captain in the corner. Jack Dolly beating Dylan Posh over the pad, under the glove. Cyclones kill off a penalty and then take the lead.
Dolly quietly with a very, very nice season for his first year in Wausau. 8 goals, 8 assists. He had a game-winning goal in there as well. 2 power play goals. He had 36 penalty minutes for a plus-minus of 11. His season highlight was probably outside of that game-winning goal, of course, was probably his streak where he scored in 3 out of 4 games between November 25th and December 8th. He had 5 total points in the form of 3 goals and 2 assists. So a nice little run there in the middle of the season for Jack Dolly. And we certainly hope to see him back in a Cyclones jersey. And I promise you all Jack Dolly fans out there, he will be one of the first guests next season should he return to Wausau. I didn't get him on the podcast this season. I apologize for that, Jack, and all of Jack's family if you are out there listening. But he will be one of the first people that I have on next season, no doubt. Up next, we have number 24, Dylan Chapman from Woodbury, Minnesota, a name that will go down in Wausau Cyclones lore. He is a 3-year Cyclone and owns the record for the most games played in a Cyclones jersey. Franchise record, 138 games. Boy, Dylan Chapman really gave a lot to this program over the last 3 seasons. In his career, he was able to total 34 points, and we'll take a look at this season's stats right after these highlights.
Chase Chapman works it to Dylan Chapman. He's going to fire it and score. the longest tenured Wausau Cyclone in game number 124 of his Wausau Cyclone career, with an absolute beauty from the near side, beats the goaltender over the pad, under the blocker, and pulls your Cyclones within one.
Across the blue line and then working it down low are the Woodsman pair of defensemen. Now here comes Dylan Chapman, gonna work it off the far side boards. Beautifully done, passes it to himself and buries it underneath the crossbar. What an individual effort. Oh my goodness. The longest tenured Wausau Cyclone, Dylan Chapman, showing what he's learned in the NA3, burying it glove side and taking the lead early in the third period. A much needed goal coming from the Cyclones assistant captain. What a shot. That is the second time that Stephen Kelly has been beaten upstairs on the glove side.
You know, I thought Dylan's offensive prowess really came on strong this season, and it was reflected in his stats as well. He had his best season offensively with 7 goals and 7 assists. He had a game-winning goal in there, along with 2 power play goals and a shorthanded goal. How about that? Not many of those for the Cyclones this season, but one of them belonging to Cyclones assistant captain Dylan Chapman, who is an age-out as well. We thank him for all that he's done over the last 3 seasons, and we certainly will miss his presence and miss his leadership. Best of luck to Dylan Chapman as he moves forward in his hockey career. That brings us to forward number 25. By the way, Dylan Chapman, I can't remember if I said it or not. Chapman wore the number 24, the forward from Woodbury. Now we move on to number 25, Matthew Witt. He hails from Midland, Michigan.
The next goal, absolutely pivotal. Either the Cyclones can reestablish their 3-goal lead. Or the Junior Blues will be one shot away from tying this game. Cyclones need to do something to break up the momentum and slow down the pressure of the Junior Blues. It's been all Blues in this third period. Here's a chance as Witt fires one on. Perfectly timed. We just called for it, said the Cyclones need a goal right now. Number 25, Matthew Witt, says, I'll oblige. And the Cyclones reestablish themselves firmly in the lead. This game is 6-3.
Matthew was a returning Cyclone and also a awesome guest here on Inside Cyclones Hockey. Great interview with Matthew Witt. A lot of great interviews this year. Probably the most, I guess, standout amount of standout interviews and longer form interviews this season. And Matthew Witt was one of them. In 90 games played as a Cyclone, he has racked up 28 points this season. Identical stats once again, just like I can't remember who it was earlier on. I think Adam Wiggins had identical stats. Same thing for Matthew Witt, 5 goals, 9 assists in each season as a Cyclone. However, this season he tacked on a game-winning goal, had only 8 penalty minutes. So he was a reliable player who did not cost you much in the way of penalties. Had a power play goal as well for a -1 plus minus, so nearly even on the season. And we certainly hope to see Matthew Witt back next season. So we continue to work our way through. We're a little over halfway through the roster right now. Still multiple Cyclones that we're yet to talk about that have double-digit points this season. And that brings us to another 3-year Wausau Cyclone player who was the very first guest on the podcast this season. Another great interview. Number 9 from Grand Forks, North Dakota, it is Dominic Bourdon.
With a beautiful cross-ice pass, he's got Bourdon looking for him, and he tips it in, drops to a knee in celebration. What a beauty. Chapman to Bourdon to break the goose eggs, and your Cyclones on the board and on top.
Board done. I have called one of the best shot blockers, if not the best shot blocker, on this Wausau Cyclone squad. Always willing to get down in front of a puck. Always willing to put his body on the line for the betterment of the team. And he was a staple of the Wausau Cyclones penalty killing unit this season. Now, he did miss most of the 2023, in fact, all of the 2022-2023 season due to an injury. I believe it was a knee injury, if I recall correctly. But this year, and going back to 2021-22, he played 42 games. This year, he played 50 games for a total of 95 games in a Cyclones jersey and a total of 31 points. 14 of those points coming this season, 8 goals, 6 assists, a game-winning goal in there as well to go along with 28 penalty minutes for a positive 7 plus minus. He is also an age-out, and he's a presence that is going to be missed. That's for sure, one of just 3 guys, and actually rounding out the 3-year Cyclones coming up in a minute here, going to be Caleb Paquin, but it was Dylan Chapman, Dominic Bourdon, and Caleb Paquin, the only guys left from the Coach Colin Bailey version of the Wausau Cyclones before Coach Oystrick took over last season into this season. So good luck to Dominic Bourdon moving forward. It was certainly a pleasure to get to watch him play hockey. That brings us to defenseman Cullen Grahek. He wore the number 17 from Sartell, Minnesota. Cullen had 14 points this season in the form of 4 goals and 10 assists across 44 games played. And again, I do have to apologize. All 4 of his goals were scored on the road, and there just isn't any quality in those calls on the road oftentimes. Sometimes you get a good away announcer who will, you know, call the goal and say who scored it and whatever. Unfortunately for Cullen, he scored 3 goals very, very early on. 3 out of his 4 goals this season were actually scored between September 30th and October 13th. So he started off the season with a very hot hand, had 3 goals in just 14 calendar days, but then did not score again until December 22nd, and that was all she wrote for scoring for him this season. I really do apologize to Cullen's family. There's no highlights of him scoring at home, so I have nothing to put in here. I do apologize about that, but he's an 05, and we hope to see him back in a Cyclones jersey next season. Lighten it up, and we'll have plenty of highlights for you then. Cullen actually had a game-winning goal along with his 4 goals and 10 assists. He had the game winner. He had 46 penalty minutes for a plus 17 plus minus. I'll let you know here. This is the can at least give you a little consolation here. That game-winning goal came on a 2-point night for Cullen back on October the 7th against Peoria. He had a goal, he had an assist, and his goal was the game winner. So a nice little season put together by the defenseman from Sartell, Minnesota. That brings us to Chase Chapman, the brother of former Wausau Cyclone Tanner Chapman. Chase has been with us for, I thought he had been with us for a couple of seasons here. But according to the league website, he has played 47 games in a Cyclones jersey, 3 goals, 8 assists, 11 points for Chase Chapman, oftentimes the line mate of Dylan Chapman, and set up Dylan for one of the most beautiful goals I saw all season. When I talked to Chase on this podcast, he said he liked to call it Chapman Squared. And that Chapman to Chapman connection was unreal on that one specific Dylan Chapman goal. Again, some unfortunate news, though, for Chase. I do not have any highlights for him on home ice this season. I have a number of goals from last year. He had an empty netter and was actually the number 10 on the top 10 plays from last season. So, again, I thought Chase Chapman was on the team last season. The old highlights prove that he indeed was, and for some reason the website just refuses to show his previous stats. So this season he did end up with those 3 goals, 8 assists for 11 points. He also had a power play goal in there as well. And again, I'll give you that consolation there. Chase's power play goal, let's see, came back on October the 10th against the Peoria Mustangs. That was his two-point night as well. So thank you to Chase Chapman for all he's done the last couple of seasons, and we certainly hope to have him back, make him a 3-year Cyclone. On to another age out. He's been in Wausau for a long time, but he is the only Wausau Cyclone from outside of the country. It's number 23 from Prague, Czech Republic, Adam Napravnik.
Back to even strength, 5-on-5 hockey, 13:30 left in the period. That one going to find the back of the net with ease. Napravnik nets it. And Gomez snags the puck. Is that Napravnik's first of the season? It is. No goals, 2 assists, no more as Napravnik beats the goaltender on the glove hand side, and the defenseman from the Czech Republic getting in on the action, joining the fun to the tune of a 4-0 lead.
One thing that Adam and I talked about when he was a guest here on Inside Cyclones Hockey is that his confidence had really grown, his ability with the puck had really grown, and he just needed to step up, take some chances, and get involved on the offensive side of things. And he did so well this season, scored his first career NA3HL goal this season, and then added 2 more to boot. He had 14 points on a total of 3 goals and 11 assists. He's played 79 games in a Wausau Cyclones jersey for a plus-minus of positive 14 this season. He even had a game-winning goal, so that's a pretty good rate right there. He had just 3 goals on the season, which was 3 more than last season, though, and one of those a game winner. So it was a pleasure to watch Adam Napravnik grow as a hockey player. We're certainly happy that he landed here in Wausau during high school and then stuck around for his junior hockey career. He is an age out and will be moving on. His game-winning goal coming back on December 29th against St. Louis. So that was number 23, Adam Napravnik. And we now move on to Mario Savino. Mario wears the number 6. He comes from Hudson, Wisconsin. And he played 37 games this season for a total of 9 points. Spent a brief period with the Granite City Lumberjacks and then joined us here in Wausau. Scored 4 goals and had 5 assists on the season as well.
Looking for Brian. And he's got Savino streaking down. Pass a little bit behind him. Got Randall on the backside. Pacheco wide open up top. Instead, he finds Savino, who rips one. And the power play goal cuts this lead in half. Cyclones are right back in it with 7:27 left to go in the first period. What a beauty from Savino.
So one of those 9 points was a game-winning goal for Savino. He had 61 penalty minutes, 1 power play goal, and a plus-minus of positive 13. That game-winning goal came back on January 20th against the Peoria Mustangs. His power play goal, I should be able to tell you what day that was on. Yes, there it is. November the 3rd against the Wilmer Warhawks. So Savino is just a 2005 birth date, so if he wants to be back in a Cyclones jersey, I'm sure we will see him. Coming down to the end of the list here, but still got 5 Cyclones to talk about. Right now, we're highlighting number 10, Christian McKinley, the forward out of Odessa, Texas.
McKinley redirects one up and under the crossbar. He'll take it however you can get it. Puck squirts free from the scrum. McKinley, right time, right place, and he makes it count. Good-looking goal for number 10, the fifth of the evening for the Cyclones, who are starting to run away with this contest.
I really loved getting to watch Christian play hockey this season. He gives up height and size to pretty much everybody on the ice at just 5'5", but you wouldn't know it if you could somehow close your eyes and still see him play the game. Or ignore his size and still see him play the game. He plays an aggressive game. He gets in people's faces, will not be shoved around, always hustles, has a ton of speed. And we are certainly happy that he found his way up to Wausau in 44 games this season. He racked up 4 goals and 4 assists for a total of 8 points. He also had a game-winning goal this season, along with a power play goal and a plus-minus of 3, along with, it looks like, 34 penalty minutes. His game-winning goal came back on, let's see, game-winning goal. Why am I not seeing it here? Apologize, folks. So all the way back on October the 27th against St. Louis. That was also the night that he scored his power play goal. And I have to wonder if those goals were one and the same. Regardless, number 10, Christian McKinley, certainly made his presence known each and every time he touched the ice. And we are very happy to have number 10 in Wisconsin. Hopefully he didn't mind the cold too much, the old Texas boy. So that was Christian McKinley. Certainly hope to see him back next season. Now we round out our 3-year Cyclones with Caleb Paquin, who had to deal with injury, severe injury. And finally he told me, you know, he felt like he got the monkey off his back. Had 4 goals over the span of a couple games. Zach Serway and I talk about the Inside Cyclones hockey bump coming up here in a handful of minutes. And Caleb Paquin, as much as anybody else in the history of this podcast, certainly felt the Inside Cyclones hockey bump at one point this season after his episode. He's played 107 games in a Cyclones jersey for a total of 20 points. We'll get to his season-long season total stats right after these highlights.
Puck turned over. Peoria able to chip it off the high glass on the far side. Now here's a chance for Paquin, and he puts one over the blocker under the crossbar. Caleb Paquin, for the 4th goal of the game, beats Kasson Yamada in the same exact spot that Dvorak did to get the scoring going back in the first period at number 22. Absolutely.
So Paquin, another incredible interview. One of my favorite guests all season long. He did have to fight through that injury, as I mentioned, and he came back and played well, was an important part of this squad down the home stretch. He had a game-winning goal and 2 power play goals as well for a plus-minus of -5. His game-winning goal came back on, man, I'm having trouble finding these for some reason. It came back on February 9th. So best of luck to number 22 from Moorhead, Minnesota, as he moves on with his hockey career. Always a guy willing to step up for his teammates. Always a guy willing to, hey, if somebody's got to take the ejection because we got in a tussle, Caleb Paquin was always going to do that for you. They call him Iggy, and we are certainly going to miss him as a Cyclone. Best of luck moving forward to Mr. Paquin. Now we have defenseman Garrett Friel, who scored 2 goals on the season along with 4 assists for a total of 6 points.
Friel, another one of those guys getting the short end of the stick. He only scored on the road, and there just is not a highlight to provide for you that gives him in any context. But we do appreciate Garrett Friel's efforts. Number 21 from South Lyon, Michigan, had 6 points for and 28 penalty minutes for a plus minus of 3 on the season. He is an 0-4, so could certainly come back and play some more Wausau Cyclones hockey if that's what he is looking to do. Just two Cyclones left here, and this man does have a goal highlight. His only goal of the season, and it came back on, December 8th is when number 26, Brandon Pico, was able to light the lamp. He also had 4 assists this season for a total of 5 points and a plus minus of positive 2. So a nice little season for Brandon Pico. Here is his one goal this season.
Chapman, nice outlet pass to the far blue line. Chance right in front. Pico buries it. And that one all started with Colin Lemanski back in the net. Records an assist. Lemanski to Pico. Pico to the front of the net.
Well, if you're only going to have one, you might as well make it a beauty. And that indeed was an absolute beauty. I encourage you to go back and check it out if you have access to NHL TV. Again, that one coming against the Wisconsin Woodsmen back on December 8th. Pico actually had an assist that night as well for a 2-point night. And then just 2 games later, he would rack up 2 more assists. So 4 out of his total 5 points on the season came across the span of 3 games. So a little bit of a hot streak there for number 26, Brandon Pico. And rounding out your Cyclones lineup this season, we still have one more guy to talk about after this, but it is defenseman Spencer Dahl, who also had just 1 goal this season. But we got that highlight for you. He had 3 assists for a total of 4 points, 39 penalty minutes, and a plus minus of positive 3. Here is number 13 from Cedarburg, Wisconsin, Spencer Dahl's goal.
Nearly another bad bounce for the Blues. Been a couple greasy goals in this one, and that's the way the Cyclones apparently like it tonight. That one's in from the blue line. Spencer Dahl let it go, and it's 5-1.
So that goal for Dahl coming back on December 30th against St. Louis in Wausau. So there you have it. I told you it was going to be really long. I do apologize if there were any blips or if I made any editing mistakes. Almost an hour worth of highlights here is a ton, and it's taken me multiple days to get through. So I do apologize if there are any little blips or mistakes, or if I repeated myself at any point. But I certainly hope that you enjoyed it here. Look back on such an incredible season. And before I go, we do have to mention one of the most integral Cyclones players in history. He was the captain, he was the leader on and off the ice, and he did move on to bigger and better things. It is Captain Gabe Randall. So Gabe wore, it says number 17, I believe that's what he wears for the Rochester Americans. If my memory serves me correctly, Gabe wore the number 11 for the Wausau Cyclones. And in 79 games in a Cyclones jersey, he was able to rack up 98 points. So had he finished out the season with the Cyclones, he probably would have been an all-time points leader. But that honor is does belong to Ricky Nelson. But in 2 seasons with the Wausau Cyclones, Gabe Randall was a tough man to replace. Such a solid hockey player, such a good guy, easy to talk to, always willing to jump on the podcast. And the Cyclones never named another captain after Gabe left during the middle of the season. Let's see if I can find out exactly when Gabe left the team here. Looks like January 6th was his last game in a Wausau Cyclones jersey. And boy, was he tearing it up before he made the jump to the NAHL. The captain was never replaced. Cyclones had multiple assistant captains. I believe Antonio Gomez, Dylan Chapman, Isaac Baker might be missing one as well. But nobody donned the C after Gabe Randall left the squad. This season, he put up 55 points in just 32 games. That came in the form of 22 goals and 33 assists. At one point, he was the second leading scorer in the entire NA3, a tough, tough thing to do in a division as competitive as the Central Division. He also had two game-winning goals, 71 penalty minutes, 11 power play goals, and two shorthanded goals. How about that, folks? He ended his NA3HL season with a plus 19 plus minus. So there you have it. Gabe Randall included. That is everyone that affected the Wausau Cyclones. There was a another player that we signed midseason, Eddie Barbary, who I don't believe scored a goal. Might have had a couple of assists in there as well. But other than that, that is everyone who touched the ice and affected the ice this season for your Wausau Cyclones as far as the skaters go. But now before I let you go, you know we got to take a look at those goaltender stats because, boy, was this group of goalies unbelievably impressive all season long. Of course, the leader of that group and one of the best goaltenders in the entire NA3, you've heard me say that a bunch of times this season. It was our very own Colin Lemanski, who also came to us late in the season, last season, with via a trade. And what an absolute difference maker. What an incredible goaltender number 33 Colin Lemanski became.
Shire wins the race, and Tegan Shire's got a breakaway. Tegan Shire, in alone, fires stonewalled by Lemanski. Beautiful save there. In front, Fitzgerald off his skate. Fenske fires, rebound in front, second, third chance, Lemanski. Oh my goodness, what a save. A series of sensational grabs by Colin Lemanski to keep the game scoreless. What?
So there's a couple of good saves from Colin Lemanski, and I have to apologize to him and the other two goaltenders as well. I should have, especially being a goalie guy, and I'm going to keep this in mind moving forward in the coming seasons. Whenever there's a big time save or a great highlight, I'm going to have to just jot down kind of what time of the game it happened and go back and cut those highlights right away. Because, man, is it difficult to find goaltender highlights. I mean, goals are easy, right? It tells you exactly what time it happened. You just fast forward to that point in the game. You cut the highlight. But over the course of a season, unless you're going to dedicate days to sitting there and watching the games in their entirety and waiting for a big time save or a good call, you know, of a save to happen, it's just really, really difficult to find, go back and kind of buffer through or skim through games and find goaltender highlights. So I really appreciate our intern, Colin Bray, former Wausau Riverwolf, Colin Bray, for helping me find these couple of highlights that we do have. Again, I apologize. I owe the goaltenders. I should have way, way, way more highlights cut of these guys, but I wasn't able to go back and find any without watching games or any more than I have without watching games in their entirety. So I'm going to do a better job of calling big-time goalie saves and jotting down when those big-time goalie moments happen. So anyway, Colin Lemanski played almost 2,000 minutes this season, was on the ice for 32 full games. He wasn't in the top three or five category in pretty much every statistical category. It's simply because he played so many more minutes than everybody else that qualified. So there's qualified goaltenders that have to play X amount of minutes or face X amount of shots. And Lemanski, in almost every single category, doubled up or was way ahead as far as time played than the other people who were in front of him in these categories. Such a strong, strong goaltender. Only had a losing record to one team all season, and that was the West Bend Power. In almost 2,000 minutes, he had a 2.32 goals against average, a 22-8 win-loss record. He also did take a shootout loss and a 93.43 save percentage. That's right, a 93.43 save percentage. But here's the kicker. He faced 1,141 shots and allowed just 75 goals. So you can look at the goals against average, you can look at the save numbers, and they can be impressive for a lot of goaltenders in the NA3, but they're facing maybe 500, 600, maybe even 800 shots. Colin Lemanski facing 1,141 shots and allowed just 75 goals. Another great season out of number 33 from Midland, Michigan. It was a pleasure getting to watch him, getting to call his games. I know he has a big-time future ahead of him, and I'm excited to see where he is able to go. Tanner Bonjour and Brady Fail split backup time. Tanner became a pretty solid, pretty reliable backup in big situations, as did Brady Fail, but Tanner played about twice as many minutes, just shy of 800 minutes. He had a 2.527 goals against average, a 10-2 win-loss for a 9.18 save percentage. He faced 391 shots and allowed just 32 goals on the season.
And a break-in from Tegan Shire. Shire looking for his 40th point of the year, and it's stonewalled a little too much speed by Tanner Bonjour. And here comes Baller in on a breakaway. Baller, beautiful save! Tanner Bonjour robbing Andrew Butler. And we may have an odd man rush coming the other way. Here comes Max Mudge, fires, routine shot, fires, and another save! Cole Fenske, a diving block by Tanner Bonjour.
So there you have it, some great saves there from number one, Tanner Bonjour, the first-year Cyclone out of Muskegon, Michigan. And that brings us to the man that I owe the biggest apology of all, number 30, the greatest number in the world, Mr. Brady Fail. Brady does not have any individual highlights cut, and I really sincerely do apologize about that. If you want to see what Brady's made of, go back and listen to our conversation together about these two games, going back to February 3rd and February 9th. February 3rd, let me set up the situation for you, was probably the biggest game of the season up to that point. Wausau and West Bend were in the midst of a heated battle for the number one seed. West Bend was only a point or two behind, and Coach Oystrick decides to go with Brady Fail. Well, things didn't exactly start off the way that anybody hoped. He got pulled just 7 minutes into the game, allowed 3 goals on 7 shots. But what does Coach Oystrick do? That was a Saturday night. The following Friday night, just 6 days later, he goes right back to Brady Fail, who rewards himself and his team with a shutout, a 24-save shutout against St. Louis. And if you want to see what Brady Fail is made of, if you want Brady Fail highlights, if you want to see Brady Fail play at his best, go back on NAHL TV and watch the Friday, February 9th game against St. Louis. That's going to tell you all that you need to know about number 30 from Traverse City, Michigan. So how about this goaltender room? Three guys from Michigan. That's not always too common. But Brady Fail did end up with a 6-1 win-loss record, a 2-1-4 goals against, which is actually the highest out of the whole team, or the lowest, I guess I should say appropriately. And he also ended up with a 9.296 save percentage. He saw 199 pucks in game action and allowed just 14 goals. Also had that shutout to his credit. So no matter who the Cyclones started, they knew, and the players told me all season long, you know, they had confidence. They knew that their goalies were going to step up for them, and they didn't have to worry night in and night out, no matter who started in net. Brady Fail, Tanner Bonjour could both be back as a Cyclone. Colin Lemanski, I'm assuming, going to move on to the NA or Division III. There are big-time things in store for Colin Lemanski. But as a whole, in 3,087 minutes played, your goaltending group had a 2.35 goals against, a 38-11 record, a 9.30 save percentage. Pretty darn impressive numbers. All told, 1,731 shots were faced, and 121 goals were allowed with a total of 3 shutouts. So there is all of your individual stats, highlights, all that stuff, a minute or an hour and 10 minutes worth of memories, worth of high points, and just overall great stuff. So the Cyclones as a team played 51 games. They were victorious 38 times. They earned 78 points on the season, which is by far a franchise record. They scored 219 goals and gave up just 125 for a positive goal differential of 94, one of the highest in the league and certainly by far the highest, almost double of the Oregon Tradesmen, so by far the highest in the Central Division. They won 77% of their games and had a heck of a win streak right in the middle of the season. I think it was 16 or 18 games long. Ended the home season with a 20-2 record. Just accolades upon accolades. A number of Central Division Players of the Week for Colin Lemanski, Connor Dvorak, Isaac Baker, Ricky Nelson, Gabe Randall, all those guys. Awarded with that multiple top plays of the week for the NA3HL. And again, Colin Lemanski, Isaac Baker, and Ricky Nelson, along with head coach Nathan Oystrick and assistant coach Luke Meyer, all representing Wausau just about a week ago at the NA3HL Top Prospects Tournament. So, man, I guess if you want some more stats, some more in-depth stats, you can head over to wausaucyclones.com. I got nothing else I can say to you. This is as in-depth as I've ever gone. This is the longest episode I believe we've ever done, probably going to eclipse 2 hours once I edit it all together. One final thank you for listening to the podcast all season long. Smash that download button. Please turn on automatic downloads if you would, especially throughout the off-season. Numbers tend to dip a little bit, which I understand, but we'd love if you continued listening to us on a regular basis throughout the off-season. Make sure you follow the Wausau Cyclones to keep up with all your favorite Cyclones information. We'll have info when players sign and a bunch of other some chances to win stuff during the offseason. You can do that at Wausau Cyclones. And I am Jake Senholz. Year number 5 for me is in the books. Was my favorite year so far, and we're looking forward to another great one next year. You can find me on Twitter at Senholz on Sport if you feel so inclined. I got about 35 minutes with Zach Serway coming up. We got a ton of thank yous. We got some more reminiscing to do, some favorite moments, some favorite games, and then we look forward into what's to expect in the first couple weeks of the offseason. The NA3 draft is on the horizon. We got our main camps, as always, throughout this summer. Tons of great stuff for you coming up in my conversation with Zach Serway. And then after that, we got BJ Brandt, one of our awesome owners, and then hopefully in a special release episode coming to you sometime soon, we will have head coach Nathan Oystrick. Thank you all so, so much. Stick around for the rest of the episode. It is far from over. I'm Jake Senholz, and you are inside Cyclones Hockey.
At Lakeland Care, we build better lives. As a nonprofit organization offering care management in northeastern Wisconsin, our staff lives and works in the areas we serve. Through customized plans designed to help eligible elders and adults with disabilities live independently, we offer a unique, people-centered approach to family care. That's because we know how important it is to remain connected to your family, friends, and community. Learn more about our long-term care options by contacting your county Aging and Disability Resource Center.
All right, Cyclones fans, I want to take a quick second and talk to you about our friends at Mullins Cheese. We're located right in the center of Wisconsin, and nothing screams Wisconsin more than some cheese, specifically Mullins Cheese. We love cheese in all forms, all shapes, all sizes, and Mullins Cheese has it all. Did you know that you can tell who has the best cheese curds around by the squeak? Well, it's true. And at Mullins Cheese, they pack their cheese curds so that you can heat to squeak. Mullins Cheese isn't going to argue about who has the best cheese curds. They will just let the squeak speak for itself. Make sure you look for new Heat to Squeak packaging when you visit Mullins Cheese. That's why they say whether you're heading north or heading home, make Mullins a part of your journey. Mullins Cheese, located at exit 175 off I-39 in Knowlton. And welcome back to Inside Cyclones Hockey. Joining me now is Director of Business Operations for your Cyclones, Zach Surway. And Zach, I guess the time has come. We dabbled in it a little bit last week, a little bit of reminiscing, a few thank yous, things like that. But really going to dive in here today as this is the official season wrap-up episode. And we got a lot of people to thank. We got a lot of moments to kind of relive. But let's start off with just some season perspective. We've had couple of weeks, week and a half now since the Cyclones officially had their season ended at the hands of the West Bend Power. When you think back on this season, Zach, give me some of your perspectives and some of your thoughts overall on such an incredible season.
Yeah, I mean, some of my perspective on it is just really just thankful for everyone that that comes in touch with the Cyclones organization as a whole, from the game day staff to our players to the coaches, obviously the ownership group. I think everyone that is really a part of the Cyclones in some form or fashion. At the end of the day, this season, I think everyone was really happy with how the season played out. And really, too, I think the thing that I'm most proud about from the season is just how our organization is, pretty simply put, just run, I feel like, really, really well. And it was great to see that pay off in a big way this season on the ice, and all that come together and, you know, just set records upon records on the ice and off the ice as well. It's just really cool to see it all come to fruition. And at the end of the day, as the playoffs came about, just seeing everyone's genuine excitement for the Cyclones and, you know, going around town, going to different grocery stores and stuff like that, and running into people with Cyclones gear on. You know, it was just cool to see how much the Cyclones brand has grown over these first three seasons. And obviously excited to see where it's gonna go here upcoming next year.
Yeah, and you use the words records, the word records, and I think that above all this season, something that you can highlight is just the crazy amount of records that we did set. You can go from anywhere from the attendance records to the home record to the overall wins record to the points earned record, the positive goal differential record. We got some individual records. Dylan Chapman set the all-time record for games played as a Cyclone. Ricky Nelson, all-time record for points scored as a Cyclone. I believe Colin Lemanski set the all-time goaltending numbers, the all-time goaltending minutes, the all-time saves made. Pretty much, there's not one thing that this team did that didn't create some sort of history. Obviously, the first and the most wins in the playoffs by a Cyclones team. The list goes on and on and on. And it's like you said, partly to do with the game day staff, coaching staff, the players themselves, and of course the fans, everybody working together to create a truly historic season here in Wausau in year number three for the Cyclones.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's funny you're describing some of the highlights. I mean, essentially, some of the recap stuff that we do on a yearly basis. I mean, of all the things that happen this season, it's hard to put everything on just one PowerPoint slide from all the things that occurred. I mean, you're winning the division for the first time, winning your playoffs, a playoff series for the first time in team history. I think the one that I, over the course of this, I mean, it's certainly hard to pick and choose between what stat or certain item that happened over the course of the season that was most memorable, but the one that I feel like created the most buzz was the start to the season on home ice, starting the season 16-0. I don't know if that's going to be definitely of all the things that were accomplished this year. I think that one's going to be one of the harder ones to to try to match going forward for sure.
No doubt. No, that is going to be a tall, tall task for any future Cyclones team. The overall record is going to be tough enough to beat, let alone, ripping off 16 of them in a row at home to start another season. That could be something kind of like maybe the Brett Favre all-time start record. We'd love to see it broken by somebody in a Cyclones jersey, but or a group of guys in a Cyclones jerseys, but just don't know. That seems like an untouchable record right now, although nobody's had a chance yet, so I guess we will see moving forward. But Zach, we can kind of get into a couple of those highlights and memorable moments and stuff, and then maybe we'll end this section with some thank yous before we move on to a couple off-season things and already looking forward to next year, even though this season just wrapped up. Hockey, it never stops moving forward. But you gave one of your favorite moments. I think I have a couple real specific moments here, and Zach, feel free to comment on any of them. You mentioned that 16 game win streak in a row. It came close to ending, very close to ending, in a shootout at home on, I believe, game number 13 or 14. Cyclones were able to grind it out in a really low scoring game against an opponent that they had handled pretty well all season, but the Wisconsin Woodsmen came to play in the midst of a five straight games. Which is something I think some people might forget, that during the course of this season, the middle of the season, Cyclones were playing kind of a baseball schedule, we were calling it, where they were playing teams in groups. And this was, I believe, game three or four of a five straight games against the Woodsmen, and the Cyclones were able to pull it off in a shootout at home. So I think that just in general, that shootout was one of my favorites. Ending the Tradesman's 15 game win streak, which started with us to end our season on home ice, raising the I-39 Cup. Zach, I know you and I, we watched a ton of beatdowns over the last couple seasons at the hands of the Oregon Tradesmen. So to get them back and bring that trophy home, a trophy that we had a large part in creating and funding and all of that stuff, we finally get to raise it in Wausau. So that was a big highlight for me. And then I couldn't pick one specific goal, but pretty much all the times that the Cyclones would score within the first 10, 12, 15 seconds of a power play, always exhilarating. The puck drops and boom, couple passes around the offensive zone and we light the lamp. The Cyclones did that more than a few times this season, just so fast, so quick off the draw when it comes to the power play. So those are some highlights that stuck out in my head.
Yeah, I would say some of the I know there's it's certainly hard to pick a specific game. The one game that I'll pick on just because on the business side, that really I felt like kind of put a stamp on where the Cyclones stand and where our place is in the entertainment community here in central Wisconsin would be the game on see here, I'm pulling it up right now. On January 20th, it was the Corgi Races, a sold-out crowd right up against a Packers playoff game. I don't think you can do much better than that. And as we both know, being Packers fan, pretty much this whole state of Wisconsin shuts down when there's a Packer game, and especially when there's a playoff game going on, and to have a sellout crowd on hand going head to head against a Packer playoff game. I don't think that's going to be accomplished anytime soon again, just in terms of other organizations trying to do that. Obviously it's extremely difficult, and that's one on the business side that I'm most proud of. But in terms of just a singular moment that was my favorite, I would say would probably be clinching the playoffs on January 5th on the home ice, doing it so early. And really part of that too leads into the home winning streak that was going on. I believe that got us to like 14 games on the winning streak. So there's all this excitement built up to keep that winning streak going. And then of course to clinch it on home ice against a very good Oregon Tradesman team as well was pretty special, to say the least.
Yeah, that was certainly an awesome and a memorable game for everyone. There was a great podcast that next week and had some huge download numbers as everybody was super excited to see that the Cyclones had officially clinched the division on home ice. I'll give you a couple of my favorite games, Zach. One of them sticks out to me for many different reasons. We're going back to February 10th on an absolute beatdown of the St. Louis Junior Blues. Now, this was bobblehead giveaway night, so it was another huge crowd, believe sold out crowd, but it was the gameplay on the ice that stuck out to me. The Cyclones just absolute barrage, nonstop pucks to the net, 63 shots against the St. Louis Junior Blues. This is the game where Rickie Nelson scored 4 goals in the first 23 minutes of game action. Three of those coming within 1 minute and 3 seconds of each other to start the first period between the 1:30 mark and the 2:33 mark. So Nelson ended up with a 5-point night, had 4 goals. This was the first night that I ever remember seeing Selly, our great mascot, do the cha-cha slide. The to the left to take it back now, y'all. That song. Just watch it. I remember watching Selly do it from across the rink in front of the crowd on the far side on the home, where our home zone is. And I was losing it. I had never seen Selly do that before. So that was hilarious to me. Just an absolute slaughtering of the St. Louis Junior Blues, final score of 8-2. And if it wasn't for I remember vividly the heroics of Brooks Borowski, the St. Louis Junior Blues goaltender. I mean, this game could have been probably 15-2. It was an incredible night. Pretty much the peak of when the Cyclones were, I think, getting things going on offense in the newest iteration of the team. They had their captain move on at this point. They were dealing with a few injuries, and they really came to play, and it was a beautiful thing to watch on the offensive side of things. The other game that stuck out to me personally was the January 26th game, which is actually an away game against the Warhawks. But Caleb Paquin had been with the team for 3 years at this point. He had just come back about a month previous from a pretty nasty knee injury, if I recall correctly. I had never had him on the podcast before, and he went out and got himself a 2-point night the previous game against Peoria. So I had him on the podcast, and he was kind of talking about how it felt good to kind of get the monkey off his back, and now he feels like he can just settle into his role and just play hockey. And the next night, he goes out and he has a 3-point night, two-goal night, and an assist, a 3-point night against the Warhawks. I love to claim, when guys come on the podcast, I call it the Inside Cyclones hockey bump. I always say pretty much everybody. It's happened to Ricky, it happened to Dvorak, Anderson, Brian, a number of guys this season. But when they come on the pod, their next weekend of games, they always seem to shine. And it was a really cool kind of two-game series there for Paquin over the course of 2 weekends, just seeing him come back. A guy that had grinded so hard and had been with the organization for so long. And then he comes on, gets the Inside Cyclones hockey bump, and it was just awesome to see. So those are two games that really stuck out in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's tough to pick between the moments, and I think there is, as you mentioned, there definitely is something with the podcast bump. I don't know what it is for sure, but we got a good thing going there, so let's not ruin that going forward.
No, I certainly agree. And when the guys are as good as they were this year, it makes it real easy. Pretty much anybody that I talk to would go out and have a good night. But those are a couple of games that stuck out to me. Zach, we could go on and on and on. So many, especially in a season like this, so many things to be grateful for and moments to highlight. But of course, we know that it wouldn't be possible without everybody that has a hand in making it possible. From fans to ownership to billets to the players themselves, of course, me, you, everybody on the game day staff that has a big part. It's just so many thank yous. I don't know if you have a list of specific names or just general groups of people, but we start rattling them off because a lot of people deserve recognition to help make a season so successful as this one.
Yeah, I guess I'll start off from the top. I mean, I think the number one thing we're this organization is going as a whole. Obviously, it starts with the ownership, and obviously they've been committed to seeing where this thing can go and investing in the hockey side, the product, and also frankly letting myself be able to do what I can do and create memorable experiences with people here at the facility. The other couple items that I have written down here that I want to thank. I want to thank all the Billet families, and then specifically our Billet coordinator, Julie, for all the awesome work that they do. Said it a couple weeks ago, but I mean, they're really one of the reasons why the players are able to be successful, so successful on the ice is a big credit to them, making sure that those players are comfortable in their home during the 6 months of the season that they're here. I mean, as we've talked about previously, there's a lot of ups and downs throughout the course of a junior hockey season, where you're talking about like Paik one with dealing with injuries and being back on the comeback trail, then trying to fit back into the lineup and all those different things that go into the mental side of junior hockey is really a credit to the Billet families providing that support at home. The other item that I want to thank too is the coaching staff for obviously all their efforts that they put together to get the most out of these guys, and obviously to the players themselves for really in terms of our organization. I don't think you could ask for a better group of guys to represent us this past season, and how proud people were of them to see their success on the ice and obviously in the community as well. The other group that I want to thank is all the game day staff people. I mean, I think it goes without saying. A lot of people, sometimes people are asking me like about our game day staff, and it's obviously always pretty much every single year familiar faces. There's really not a whole lot of turnover, if any, year to year. And I think that's a big credit to just them as a whole and wanting to be part of something that's exciting and really at the end of the day just kind of a family atmosphere, and we like to have a good time and entertain people and not take ourselves too seriously at the same time. So we have a really good group of game day staff, and that's one of the things I think I'm most proud of is our staff that we have in place, and how like I said, how lighthearted they are and really care about what they're doing, and excited to come to the rink every Friday and Saturday throughout the 6 months of the season.
Yeah, and some of the members of our game day staff, and even some of the ones that aren't there every single night, but they come from all different parts of the state, some Chippewa Falls or the Wisconsin Dells to fill in, or the Madison area. People just love hockey and love the culture, and love the Cyclones that much that they're willing to give up a lot of time on their weekends, drive through the snow, drive through how dark it gets so early in the winter. They just deal with all that to come help us out, and it's a massive, massive part. And obviously, Zach, too many to probably thank by name, but all of our sponsors. I mean, we do something that the rest of the NA3 and even the NA doesn't really do, and making sure that there's some sort of giveaway, some sort of promo going on each and every home game. And we wouldn't be able to do that without the sponsors.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, frankly, there's the sponsor relationships. I mean, that is really huge for our organizations. I mean, put simply, is that we want to be able to operate how we do without their support and their belief in our mission as an organization. I feel really lucky to have built all these relationships over the number of 7 years here in Wausau. And I mean, from you mentioned on the fan giveaways and everything going on every single night. This past season, a total of 11 different fan giveaways throughout the course of the regular season, postseason. That's most among any NA3 team and any NHL team. So that's something that I'm really proud about too, is that we really at the end of the day provide a good value to people and that are attending our games every single weekend. And it's not just strictly about I put it as we're not always looking with our handout for people to come support us. We're giving it back to them with the value that we're offering, whether it's the fan giveaway sides or the different merch promotions that we do throughout the course of the season to get people engaged. It's been a lot of fun, and as I just mentioned, we simply couldn't do that without the great support of our sponsors that we have here in Wausau.
Yeah, very well said. And I also want to give a shout out to our intern this year. We've had a lot of great interns over the years, but Colin Bray, actually a former Wausau junior hockey player, joined us in a different capacity here. And I thought he did a great job all season. He took it upon himself to make those highlight videos that got up pretty much immediately, it seemed, after most home games and away games. Sometimes in a pinch, that would make it easy on me. All the highlights would be right there in one spot instead of me having to go search for them and, clip them all individually, edit them all, whatever. Sometimes that helped me out, especially during the away games. Helped me out with some stats and things like that as well. So big shout out to Colin. We appreciated his help. And then finally, my last thank you is to each and every one of you who have listened to the podcast, whether it be every single episode or just when you see a catchy title or if you missed the Cyclones game, whenever and however you listened, we appreciate it. And once again, I just remind you and ask you if you would be willing to turn that automatic downloads on. It certainly helps me out a ton. I know a lot of people tell me that that they listen but don't download the podcast. So we certainly appreciate you listening, but if you could hit that download button, that helps me out a ton. You know that, Zach.
Yeah, exactly. Rate, review, and subscribe is the way to go, and download the podcast. So the thing that's pretty cool about the podcast is this year we came across a milestone. I believe it was, I can't remember if it was December or January, maybe even earlier in the season, where we came across the 100th episode, and been doing it for a number of years and on a consistent basis. And that's really credit to, I want to say, to you, Jake. Obviously, people don't necessarily know on the podcast side of all the work that goes in on the backside of producing it, organizing it, getting all the interviews set up, all the editing that goes into to those segments as well throughout it. So and obviously thanks to the sponsors that support the podcast to make it happen. So it's been a lot of fun, and it's one of the number one ways that when you have I have a conversation with someone, is or even on the recruiting side, a player will say, oh yeah, I listened to such and such episode. You were talking to this player and that player, and you were talking about billets and that type of thing, and how that relates. I think it's a really good first impression for people or parents, or just fans in general, to at the end of the day, what the title of the podcast is, Inside Cyclones Hockey, is to be open, honest of everything that is going on. And I think it's a great tool for us to get the fans behind the scene looks of the team all year round.
Yeah, and I think it's good for the players too if they do move on and especially become, important parts of other teams. It gives them a little bit of media training, a chance to tell their story. These guys dedicate so much of their time, their hard work and everything, and to let them be able to talk a little, as much or as little as they want about what they've been able to accomplish, I think is a huge special part of the Cyclone experience as well. I don't think any other team really does a podcast that interviews the players week in and week out. But yeah, Zach, I appreciate it. It really is a lot of hours, a lot of hard work that goes in to make sure that the episodes are up every Tuesday, occasionally Wednesday, when my schedule forces it to be. But Zach, we only took 1 week off in my recounting, in my memory, going all the way back to, I believe early October, we pretty much started the weekly podcast, and I think we took 1 week off around Christmas time, and that is it. So that's a lot of recording, a lot of interviews, a lot of chopping it up about Cyclones hockey, a ton of game reviews and highlights. So I certainly appreciate everybody that's ever said anything nice to me, especially out in public. Just randomly getting compliments on it is it makes it all worthwhile, and it's a very good feeling. And we do it all for you and all for the players. So thank you very much. And yeah, please don't forget to smash that download button. So Zach, before we move on and make the pivot officially to the off season here, is there anything, any other pieces that you want to wrap up, or anything that you had jotted down that we missed?
No, I think that's all I had. Let's get into in the next season already, right?
Into next season already. It is unbelievable. And as a reminder, we will, Zach and I haven't talked or figured out the schedule or figured out exactly when the off-season podcasts are going to start moving forward here. But we do the podcast all throughout the off-season. So make sure you keep those automatic downloads on. Make sure you're checking your podcast apps, because we will have Cyclones content for you moving all the way through the spring and the summer until guys report in early fall once again. So, Zach, a few off-season notes. Looking into the future, what do we know so far about the schedule release? I know you and I joked about, hey, you know, NFL playoff weekends, no more home games. It's a curse for the Packers. Mm-hmm. But other than, you know, a couple of things like that, what do we know so far about the upcoming schedule release, and when do you work with the organization, the league rather, to get those kind of things set?
Yeah, so we'll be working with the league and of course the other teams within our division over the next month and a half to really get a rough draft of that schedule for next season, and it will be made public around the week after 4th of July holiday, so you can stay tuned to look for that. The other thing I'll say too, regarding just any off-season news, whether it's the scheduled player signings, other ticket offerings, things like that, be sure to also subscribe to our newsletter. That is something that is still obviously sent out all the way throughout the course of the off-season as well. So you just head to wausaucyclones.com/newsletter, and that'll get everything right sent to your inbox. So maybe if you are scrolling through social media and you miss something or something was time different, that way you'll get it to your inbox and won't miss anything important that's happening throughout the course of the off-season as well.
Yeah, it's always a great idea. We say follow us on social media all the time, but if you want really every single piece, make sure that you're not missing anything Cyclones hockey, definitely sign up for that newsletter, and always be checking at wausaucyclones.com as well. So Zach, I am looking at the website. I see that people can submit their information to buy a Founders Club and Flex Fours already. The Founders Club is just an incredible value. Talking with some of my friends who from work who fell in love with the Cyclones this season, I know that we already have a handful of Founders Clubs going to be sold to them, because they were just so excited and they couldn't believe when I told them how great of a deal it was. Looks like this upcoming season, for just $175, you're going to get a ticket to every single Clones game. You're going to get a special Clones hat, an additional free ticket to opening night. You're going to save 30% on game day pricing, 20% off on all Cyclones merch. This is a big one, Zach. This is a selling point. Guaranteed giveaway items. So maybe there's a game where you can't come in until a couple minutes into the first period, or it's like our scarf giveaway this year where, boom, it was like incredible how fast those things got given away. Sometimes we do the 250. Sometimes we do the 500. If you're a Founders Club member, it won't matter, because you're going to get your hands on those giveaway items regardless. You can also have the ability to purchase playoff tickets prior to the general public, all of that good stuff. Zach, what else can you tell us about the Founders Club, and then the Flex 4 pack as well? Maybe gives you a little bit more flexibility, but still, you know, big time Cyclones fans going to want to get their hands on that and save some money.
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly, obviously the winning on the ice has helped in terms of the excitement, the level of people already getting looking forward to buying those packages. So they, like you mentioned, they are available already on our website. The two couple items that I'll mention on the Founders Club is just the merchandise specific discount. I mean, 20% off normally. On an average, if you're a pretty hardcore fan, you're probably at the end of the day going to be spending somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 to $200 in merchandise. So right there, you're saving $10 to $20 right off the bat. We've had a lot of people give us feedback on the different giveaway items. This is a great way to guarantee, as you mentioned, those items. We set those aside, dedicated to those Founders Club members, so that way if you miss a game, or you have something come up, or like you mentioned, you're late arriving, and those giveaways are already accounted for, we're able to get those to you. The other thing I'll say too about the flex plans, those are extremely popular. Even not only in the off season as we're getting to now, but during the season, people, it's a great way to save money. As we all know, as we've talked about previously, nothing's around here is getting cheaper at any point in time, and the flex plan really allows you the best opportunity to remain flexible with your schedule and also get you 20% off your game day pricing as well. So whether you're looking for the beer package or the extremely popular Dippin' Dots package, there's a couple different offerings for you to look at. So again, just head to our website, wausaucyclones.com, to learn about all that information and to purchase those directly online as well.
Yeah, all the different ticketing information, the Founders Club, Flex 4, group ticketing, information on the Clone Zone, and to buy single game tickets, all can be found at wausaucyclones.com. Just click on the tickets tab. It is all up there and available for you. 50% savings, Zach, when it comes to the Flex 4 package. Either $60 for $120 value or $50 for $100 value. If you don't think, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it worth, to 22 home games, but I can certainly make it to four, maybe the Flex 4 is for you over the Founders Club. But whichever way you go, even if you buy a couple of Flex 4 packages throughout the season, you're going to be saving a ton of money. Zach, the last thing I think that we need to talk about here at the very beginning of the offseason is a merch sale coming up. You mentioned saving some money on merch if you're a member of the one of those packages there, but a chance for everybody to get their hands on some merch at a pretty darn good price this summer.
Yeah, so for everyone that is wondering, and certainly obviously during the season, we offer all of our merchandise at all of our home games. We will be offering another online sale over the course of the summer, so stay tuned for details on the exact timing of that. But it's a great opportunity, especially in the summertime, to get more obviously summer themed items, t-shirts, shorts, things like that, tank tops. For people to be supporting the Cyclones, whether on their cabin out fishing or playing cornhole, things like that, we'll have that offering upcoming later on in May and into June as well. So stay tuned for that. I know a lot of people always ask about the online items, so that will be a great way to support us over the course of the summer upcoming here.
And one last question. Speaking of merch, I believe the deal of the week went over really, really well
Oh yeah.
this season. Is that something that's going to be making a comeback next season?
That will be a staple of the upcoming season as well. It was something that, obviously you do a promotion, you never know what's gonna turn out, but it turned out to be extremely successful and people really took advantage of those offerings every single week. We were really happy with that internally, and it will be something that will be on the docket again for the 2024-25 season upcoming here.
All right, beautiful. Yeah, so if you start with, I guess, week one next season and you grab whatever item is 20% off, by the end of the season, you might just own the entire Cyclones merch store at only
Exactly.
80% value. So nothing more exciting than that, I don't think, for a prospective Cyclones fan coming into the off season. So Zach, we have been chatting so long that Zoom is actually about to kick me off. So we got to wrap it up pretty quick here. But again, don't forget to follow us on social media and check the website all off season long. I'm sure we'll be doing different contests, different things to get the fans engaged. Of course, we'll be announcing when and if players sign contracts to come back. We got the NA3 draft coming up in just a little bit. I'm not quite sure what our status is, draft status is as far as picks or where we'll be drafting or anything like that, but we will have all that information for you coming up. As we always give away concert tickets towards the end of the summer. So many reasons to stick around right here on Inside Cyclones Hockey. Zach, nothing else to say, I don't think, except an incredible, a memorable season, one that'll certainly go down in the history books here in Wausau. And a couple of these guys, I wouldn't be surprised if their names land on the Wausau Cyclones Hall of Fame plaque inductee board at some point in the future.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there was, like you mentioned at the top of the podcast, there's a lot of memorable performances by a lot of individual players, and it definitely will be something that I think going forward here, players will be looking to break a lot of records that were set here this past season.
Yep, I think that was very well said, and again, thank you and congratulations to the ownership group, to Coach Oystrick, Zach, to you as well. You're gonna be going on a decade soon here in this role, just a couple more seasons, so you deserve to see some championship quality hockey as well. So congratulations to everyone involved. What an incredible season, and we're looking forward to running it back and doing it again next year. Hopefully a trip to St. Louis to cap things off, but he couldn't have asked for anything else this season. Again, thank you to all of you who have downloaded and shared the podcast. It really does mean a ton to us. So Zach, until next time, which won't be too long, go Clones.
Go Clones.
That is your Director of Business Operations for the Wausau Cyclones, Zach Serway.
At Precision Body and Frame, customer satisfaction is based on years of experience. As our customer, you will receive the finest quality repairs available. We are ready and willing to answer all of your questions concerning repair or estimating process. Our professional staff will assist you with your insurance company and claims handling procedures. Visit precisionbodyandframe.com for more details on all the services offered.
And welcome back to Inside Cyclones Hockey. Joining me now is the head coach of the Wausau West Warriors, also one of our great owners here at the Wausau Cyclones. It is BJ Brandt. Coach, we haven't talked in quite a long time. A lot of good things have happened since the last time you and I talked. But I have to imagine when you guys as a group decided to kind of go in, make the investment, and bring Wausau Cyclones Hockey back to Wausau, these are the kind of results, this is the kind of season that you guys were hoping for.
Oh my gosh, Jake. Yeah, 100%. I think from the on-ice productivity, like the guys were great, you know, their involvement in the community, the fan and community support, the hockey support, everything about this season went about as well as it could. And it's exactly what we wanted. I mean, for us to be in this year three and have an opportunity to get to the Fraser Cup was pretty exciting. A little nervous, you know. I think as owners, you're like, "Ooh, this is new, uncharted territory for us. What haven't we learned yet?" So, but it was fantastic. Guys were great. Coaches were great. Staff, everything just went really, really well.
Boy, was I just hoping and praying I could go down and eat some St. Louis barbecue. Well, you know, on your guys' dime down there, that sure would have been nice, nice little trip for me. But it's been such a pleasure getting to watch this team, you know, this group of guys. And something I've been saying all season long, and the guys have echoed it, is, you know, junior hockey in the NA3 especially it's a competitive league by nature. You're there, you're paying to play, you want to move on. But these guys all kind of put their selfishness aside and they bought into what Oystie was selling. They bought into each other, caring about each other. And it was really probably the closest knit group of, you know, NA3 guys that you could ever imagine.
Yeah, as you talk to the players and as you get to know the guys, especially the guys that have been around a couple of years, you know, those are the same things they echoed, was just how tight this group was and how they were able to, you know, connect not only on the ice, but connect off the ice. And I think that's where teams win. I think when you have the ability to connect on and off the ice, and it just makes things more fun. I think, you know, it's things that you, as a high school coach, you try to build those connections, and these guys definitely had those connections and were able to connect, and it showed. I think the amount of fun, you know, when Nate Porath takes all those pictures for us, and just the amount of fun it looked like those guys were having, even on nights Ryan couldn't be at the rink, man, they just looked like they were having a great time. The fans were having a great time, and it just looked like a great experience.
And just an offensive explosion all season too. Almost 100 plus 100 goal differential, which is not something we've ever seen in, you know, the past 6 years of the different iterations of Wausau Junior Hockey. And obviously a lot of credit goes to Coach Oystrick for that, being able to bring some guys back and really build a roster with a lot of offensive power, a great goaltending group. You and your family played hockey at a very, you know, high level. You and your brother coach at a high level. How difficult is it to take a team that maybe was kind of, you know, low on morale a little bit, only won 13 games last season, didn't quite live up to expectations? How difficult is it to kind of turn around things in just one off season, 38 wins this season, you know, so, keeping the guys so close, closely knit? What are the challenges there, and how difficult is that to do successfully as a coach?
Well, I think it's really challenging, especially coming back the, you know, off the year that they had last year. But I think, you know, when you look at the way the roster was made up, we every single guy is a character kid. And I think that's a big part of it as a coach, because you know that you're going to deal with adversity in games. You're going to deal with adversity off ice. You're going to deal with it, you know, throughout the season. And you know, Coach Nathan and Coach Luke did such a good job of staying connected to these guys. That's such a huge key to find success. I mean, and certainly the guys bought into everything they were selling. They, you know, if you watch us play, we were tough to play against. And I think that was, as an owner, as a coach, and just being at that, like when somebody else says that you're really tough to play against, that means you're getting great effort out of your guys. And effort is half the battle. You know, when you look at how we played the game and how we competed, whether it was, you know, the big winning streak at home, and it was in jeopardy, you know, mid season, we were down, got it to overtime and got the win. You know, you just look at some of those character building wins that they had throughout the season, and even some tight losses that I know that you have to go through, because you're going to deal with those situations. And when they dealt with them, when this group was put into situations a second time, it's like they found a way to succeed, which is a credit to their character and the coaches as well.
Yeah, certainly. And I think, you know, it wasn't all smooth sailing. There was definitely some adversity, some lineup changes that this team had to go through on the back end of the season. You lose your captain to the higher league. Some guys go out with injuries. Other guys are coming back from injuries. When your top two lines are kind of getting shaken up like that, guys are kind of in and out of the lineup or learning how to play with new guys, that's got to be difficult too, right? But that shows the character of the team is, hey, whoever's on my line tonight, we're going to go out and make it work.
Yeah, it was a credit to the coaches, because obviously they had a structure that no matter who they put in those roles, the guys were willing to step up, whether somebody was in the bottom of the lineup one night gets bumped up to the top two lines or whatever, and just get different minutes, because for every guy, it was probably a little bit different every game. And that's just that's their character. That's the culture that they established. And those were things. And when I look at it from big picture, 10,000 foot view, those are the things that are foundational, you know, and that you hope that you can find year in and year out for the guys and their character and their want to play hockey and want to play hockey beyond, because when you perform at this level, you'll get those opportunities.
So the on the ice product went, you know, pretty much as well as it could have outside of winning those final two games and making the trip to St. Louis. But for you, from an owner standpoint, you know, there's more that goes into it than just the on-ice product. You guys have so much to be proud of. I think you set attendance records by a mile this year. We continue being, you know, the best fan experience, I think, and, you know, as far as giveaways and stuff like that, setting all sorts of records, moving on, you know, players to higher levels. I guess what are you most proud of from this season? And then what are you guys, or have you guys talked about, how can we elevate this even further?
Well, I think you look at just the way the game day experience was and the way that Zach handles the relationships with the community and the relationships with our fans, and just the way that he's able to create a fun, welcoming environment and professionally run. I mean, I think that's a big part of the fan experience is they're getting a professionally run product, and obviously the on ice product was super exciting to watch. But we're able to connect with different community members, the giveaways that we're able to have for fans. You know, I think all but maybe one or two games we had something for the fans to come get a takeaway, whether it's a hat or a towel or, you know, the bobbleheads and some of the really big event things. Those are just awesome to be able to give those back to the fans that come in to the arena to watch the Wausau Cyclones and support youth hockey and grow the game. I mean, I think the most thing that I'm proud of is how the community supported it. And we did a good enough job that people wanted to come back and enjoy and be entertained in winter in central Wisconsin or whatever version of winter we had this year. But I just, the connectivity to the community is really what's important to us. Our ability to give back to the community in a lot of different ways. And one of my favorite things, Jake, is when the players come out after the mm-hmm. games, you know, they're in the lobby signing autographs. There's kids, there's parents, there's families. There's a lot of connectivity between our billet families and how those relationships are built throughout the years. So the whole season was so fun to be a part of. Even if I wasn't at the games, you know, like our systems are running, the business is running well, and we're led by Zach and guys like you that keep promoting us and keeping our name fresh in the community, because we want to make sure that we have something to give back, and we were able to do that this year.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to the character of the organization, the character of the players, you know, that we bring in. We didn't lose much at home, but probably the worst and the toughest loss to swallow this season was obviously, you know, that Friday night contest against the West Bend Power, where they just absolutely rattled us in the third period and ended up winning 5-0. Yet the guys were out there. They were signing, you know, their season's on the line less than 24 hours away, and they're still taking the time to smile at the kids and, you know, give some hugs and sign some autographs. And, you know, ultimately they did come up short. But all in all, I mean, I think it was an incredible season for everybody involved. And I really think that the players are going to benefit from this. The guys that are going to come back next year as the leaders, they'll be like, hey, this is what worked for us last year. This is how we found success last year. And the guys that are going to move on, they know how to win now. They also know how to kind of deal with tough losses. So I think all in all, no matter what their futures hold, this season was, you know, nothing but beneficial for the guys on the ice.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what you saw at the end there in West Bend and just the hugs and the emotion and the realizing that, hey, like, man, it ended really quick here, obviously in a super exciting, you know, you're a goalie guy. You probably love a 0-0 overtime game.
I certainly did. I mean, 0-0 double OT. What more could a guy ask for? Just Colin Lemanski, superb goaltending is what I heard. I was watching on NAHL, and you know, their play-by-play guy said, you know, if not for the superb goaltending of Lemanski, this game could have been over a long, long time ago. And I love seeing that. Guys just digging as deep as they can, giving it their all. And like you said, it ended quickly. It kind of sputtered out there on Friday, but then to be able to turn around after really honestly what was kind of a beatdown in the second half of that game, you could have rolled over, you could have lost all faith, but instead they come out and they play five periods of competitive hockey to end the season. I mean, that's all you could ask for.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, I just, you know, I love the pictures that we saw at the end. There was, you know, the West Bend Power and our guys all together in the middle of the rink. And you talk about our division, like our division has grown so much in different ways over the last 3 years that it's been fun. I mean, it's been super competitive, especially with the four Wisconsin teams. So you look at from that perspective, there's a lot of competition in our state. I think that they're starting to create a little bit of rivalries within our fans as we, you know, the few games I did get to, all of a sudden, you know, we've got Toma fans there. We're sending people down to West Bend and Oregon and Toma. And I just, that's a fun part of it as the owner, is you get to create that rivalry and watch your fans be passionate about their teams.
Yeah, getting to send a fan bus down to a playoff game, you know, with a potential trip to St. Louis on the line. That's an awesome, awesome experience. Oh, just one or two more quick ones for you, I guess. How do and obviously this is a question for Coach Oistrakh as well, but how do you keep it going into next season? What does the off season look like? What do you have to do to be able to repeat the success? Now the target's going to be on your back, right? Now the expectations are there. We won the division. We won the I-39 Cup. How do you make sure that we can repeat those things next season?
Well, I think part of it starts with finishing up these guys. And I think making sure that they've got opportunities to play at the next level, the guys that can, because this is a development league. And the whole point is to develop guys. You know, we get to our first ever North American League player, and Gabe Randall sticks up there in Rochester, out in New York. And now some of these age out guys, trying to get them some commitments, whether it's a D3 commitment or an ACHA Division I commitment or Division II, I think giving them the opportunity so that when Coach Oistrakh and Coach Meyer are out recruiting, they can say, hey, we've been able to develop these guys and move guys on, because I think that's what you want. You want players that want to play beyond, that understand that this is a stepping stone to extend their hockey career at a higher level. So I think part of it is we've got some marquee events that we like to attend, and making sure that Coach Oistrakh, Coach Meyer have the ability to attend those events and make sure that they can get the players that they want. I'm sure there's a lot of guys they may want back, and keeping those relationships strong, but also realize that, you know, they may move up. They've got guys that may make some North American League teams, and you got to be prepared for that. But I think the recruiting phase is off to a good start. And certainly winning and the success that these guys had this year hopefully helps going forward.
Gabe, by the way, with 9 points in the NAHL, so he's making his mark up there in Rochester. And I think, for me personally, and again, I've never been a coach, but the head coaching position between Colin and Nathan, you know, that's been taken care of solidly for a number of years now. But there's kind of a revolving door for a while as far as the assistant coach goes. This year, we bring in Luke. It seems like there's going to be some continuity there. He was a huge part of special teams, which was, you know, phenomenal for most part of the season. Then you bring in a guy like Coach Carey to help out the goaltenders he's familiar with. And I think the coaching staff really made a very big impact on this group this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you can have consistency in those positions and adding Taylor this year to work with goalies, I think is super important, because that's a position that in most levels you don't want it to be forgotten, but these guys need detailed coaching as well, whether it's your video coaching or on ice coaching, because that's a position that is so specialized, but they need to know what they're doing and they need to know where they can improve, and to give, you know, for Taylor to be able to do that this year was really exciting for us to have him on board. It gives us a Michigan connection too, because we obviously have a lot of guys that are Michigan kids, you know, some Packer fans, some Detroit Lion fans. Found that out a lot this year, which was kind of fun. A little rivalry and something to chat about with the boys. But having Luke has been great. I mean, I think he's on the recruiting trail and ready to, you know, put his mark on the recruiting side of it, because, you know, when he came in, he was able to help, you know, sustain some of the guys that we had a year ago, develop some of the players we have. And the biggest thing, again, they're learning, you know, they're learning the process, the junior recruiting process, and just making sure that guys are in the right spot to be successful. And Nathan, you know, obviously where he was a year ago to where he is now, I mean, he certainly put his mark on the program. And I know that he's super proud of what the guys accomplished, and we're super proud of the entire organization.
Yeah, and he got to represent Wausau at the Top Prospects Tournament, which is obviously another cool opportunity and kind of a feather in your cap for a great season there as well. So exciting stuff still coming up throughout the offseason. I don't know where, if we have any draft picks or where we'll be drafting. Obviously, it won't be very high like we have in past years, but we tend to, I think, kind of trade those away for tenders and other things anyway. But still, we got the NA3 draft on the horizon, and hope we'll be seeing who comes back. We'll be seeing who signs, and it's going to be a very exciting offseason.
Yeah, we're super excited. I think, you know, everybody wants to take a little bit of a deep breath. you know, because it was exciting. It's long. It's, you know, from late August to March. It's a long season. But we're supported by so many people, the community, the Billet families, the game day staff, people like yourself and Zach and the coaches, and hopefully everybody can take a little bit of a deep breath and come back recharged and ready to do it all over again.
Oh, I know I certainly need it. This is, I think episode 35 of this regular season. So between October and now, we've cranked out 35 of these things. So I'm certainly ready for a little bit of a break. But as we know, hockey season never stops. The offseason moves very quickly, and pretty soon we're going to be talking about the home opener come October again. But it was a very special season. Certainly my favorite season doing this in my 5 years. And I don't see why the success won't keep rolling here in Wausau.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Jake. It's fun for me. I have a lot of windshield time in my life with the kids and the high school program, and I get to listen to these. So it's fun for me, even if I wasn't there that week, to get to your recap and hear some of the insight and some of the interviews. So thank you so much for doing this.
Well, I appreciate you guys supporting me and letting me grow as a broadcaster and all that good stuff. And I said, you know, at this point, my goal is just, I want my name on that Cyclones Hall of Fame inductee thing someday. I know I got a ways to go, but I was talking to Zach too. I'm like, hey, once you kind of run through all the older guys, you know, all the guys that deserved it back then, I wouldn't be surprised if someday down the line, some of the names from this season, you know, these guys end up on that plaque as well. So very exciting season and excited to see what we do moving forward. I appreciate your time as always. And, I think that'll probably wrap it up. Maybe we'll talk to you, I don't know, in a couple of months once we get a clearer picture of what this roster is going to look like, you know, moving into next season and stuff.
Sounds great, Jake. Thank you again.
All righty. Enjoy the rest of your spring break and enjoy that Wild game tonight, sir.
Absolutely.
We will talk to you later. That was Wausau West Warriors head coach and one of the owners of your Wausau Cyclones, BJ Brandt.
Better begins by listening to each other. Better begins at Aspirus Health. Health, healing, happiness. At Aspirus Health, we know the best healing begins by first listening carefully. To schedule an appointment, call 800-847-4707, or you can visit aspirus.org.
Thanks for listening to Inside Cyclones Hockey as we give you a behind-the-scenes look at the team. Please rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date on all things Cyclones Hockey. And as always, go Clones!